Radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Ric Flair, great pro wrestler or greatest pro wrestler? 319-366-1600. Don't think I'm joking.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, Studios.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brodelkamp Show.
Let me go on record as telling the whole world you are the greatest wrestler on the face of this earth. But pal, today, right here, you gotta beat Ric Flair one more time. Remember, Steamboat? And pal, I'll kiss your boots if you can do it. But to be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal, I'm the man.
And I am saying right here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, between the hours of 4 and 7, and at least on this particular stool, I'm the man. Welcome in. It is the Todd Brodelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Kyle Mann, our producer, along for the ride as well. And great show lined up for you today. And we're going to dive right in coming up in a few minutes this hour. Hour number one, I'm going to be talking with Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com. He's actually at 5 o'clock, my apologies, 4:30 today. Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. So you NASCAR fans out there, boy, we're starting the program off talking pro wrestling and NASCAR. It's aimed right at a certain segment of the listener base today, but that's okay. Jeremiah is going to give us 90 seconds of good NASCAR. I didn't say anything to him today when I saw him earlier in Iowa City, but he knows. He knows he needs to bring it and not leave any time left on the table. We'll talk Hawkeye football and basketball, of course, with Jeremiah Kirk Ferentz, meeting members of the media in Iowa City earlier today. As we mentioned, Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour, 6 o'clock hour tonight. We'll take a look back on last night's Monday Night Football game. Bad news for Green Bay fans, bad news for Hawkeye fans who like to root for former Iowa players in the NFL. Brian Bulaga out for the year. I wish I could say it mattered. That team is garbage without Aaron Rodgers, and they looked like it last night. And that, quite frankly, goes to the bottom of what we've been talking about for weeks here. People are not watching the NFL because the games are not entertaining. I mean, when they are entertaining, there's flags all over the place. I'm all over the place today, and my apologies. We're going to get the show back on the track here. I do want to get this out of the way really quick. At 4:08 on a Tuesday afternoon, this has been an extremely bad day for me. And it started with my son waking up at 3:30 in the morning and then going back to bed and then still insisting on waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And don't ever ask yourself how your day could possibly get worse than that, because then I found out today that my grandmother passed away. So I'm here and I'm working and my mind is in 1,000 different other places, and you're going to get what you're going to get today. It's like walking into your favorite restaurant and knowing that the chef is on vacation. Except, I guess in this analogy, the chef is still here. He just maybe isn't working with the best ingredients, and that's his own fault because he put himself in that position. So this is not official yet, but we talked about it earlier today. I don't think there's going to be a show on Friday, and part of that is because of the Iowa City West football game, which will start at 4 o'clock and was originally scheduled to run on our FM frequencies, at least one of them, and Alex is the voice of the South Gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, and so he wasn't going to be here, and now the visitation is 4 to 7 on Friday, so as much as I love work and as much as every time life takes a giant dump on me, the very first thing that I think about, and this is very sad, is how it will affect work. I'm not going to be here from 4 to 7 on Friday. So I think the plan is that we're going to treat Thursday's program like it would be Friday. We were already going to be in studio on Friday because of the Iowa City West game. So we weren't going to do the road trip driven by Linder Tire in Iowa City. So Thursday, we'll do it a day earlier than normal, but I think we'll do the big hour, and Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be here. I think we're going to try to line up Kevin Casper and talk about his career as a member of the Hawkeyes, and that's what we'll do moving forward. You heard Ric Flair on the intro. It's one of the most anticipated 30 for 30s that I think ESPN has ever done. There's been a lot of talk about this. There's been a lot of buildup to it. Months and months of anticipation behind this one. And, of course, we almost lost Ric Flair just a few short weeks ago, maybe a month or so ago. He had an emergency procedure done that helped save his life. And I think they're going to talk about that tonight. And I'm really looking forward to this. And I subject those of you that don't like professional wrestling to an extended open of the program today. But I wanted to do something that made me happy and took my mind off what a terrible, miserable day today is. And so you get Ric Flair coming in, and tonight before I go to bed, I'm firing up the DVR, boy, and I'm going to sit on the couch and I'm going to watch the Nature Boy 30 for 30. Welcome in, Alex. What's going on? Kirk Ferentz, Iowa City earlier today. Yeah, I don't know what else we can say about this. They're still basking in the glow, as they should be, of the Ohio State victory last weekend. But you go from the fryer into the frying pan because you got to take on the number six team in the country. And I say that with an asterisk because we don't know what the college football playoff rankings are going to be until later tonight. We're going to talk about that as well. But the major polls, the Associated Press and the ESPN coaches poll, both have Wisconsin at number six today. So you go from playing Ohio State and taking them out behind the woodshed, and boy, has that thing taken on a life of its own, to now going up to Camp Randall Stadium. It should be cold, rainy, miserable. It sounds to me weather conditions may be similar to Barry Alvarez's last home game at Camp Randall. And if you folks remember, Iowa went up there and completely ruined that day for the Wisconsin football program and came away with a win. So we'll see. Anything goes. The unfortunate news today, Brandon Snyder. And we knew this. Nobody had confirmed it, but it was all but known. He's going to miss the rest of the year. Same injury, same knee. Came back for one game. It was a tremendous game. He had the interception return. He still has a year of eligibility. He has his senior year of eligibility left next year, and he's going to work pretty hard to come back and get on the field. But it's not looking likely, and I agree that it's not possible that he gets a red shirt, a medical red shirt, and for a sixth year of eligibility. Kirk Ferentz talked about that today. We may hear that coming up on Coach's Cuts, brought to you by Network Computer Solutions, inside the 5 o'clock hour. But they are treating Brandon Snyder as if he has 1 year of eligibility remaining. And Alex, I think you and I talked about this. When you come back in 6 months from a normally a catastrophic injury that takes almost a year to recover from, yeah, the chances that you're going to re-injure yourself are pretty high. So it's an unfortunate situation. But other than that, this program is night and day difference from 2 weeks ago. They're walking around with the confidence that you would expect from a program that just completely, you know what? If my tiny little brain would have been working just a little bit better today, I would have opened the show with comparing Ohio State and Ric Flair and what Iowa did to Ohio State, because to be the man, you got to beat the man. And that's kind of what Iowa thinks it did last week. Drake Kulik is talking about Ohio State leaving in a body bag. And those Wisconsin Badgers might hear that talk and think that things have gone to the heads of the Iowa football program. But we'll wait and see. This is a very, very confident bunch that's going to head north this week, Saturday, 2:30 kickoff.
First of all, Todd, very sorry for your loss, and I know people on the text line 319-366-1600 are echoing those sentiments. But yeah, it's been a really interesting day. We'll get to it a little bit later. The news about Roy Halladay out of Major League Baseball passing away.
Roy Halladay was not 93 and a half, which makes that even more tragic.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's interesting what you just said about the confidence of this football team right now. Because, like you said, what a difference a week makes. And not only within the football team, but outside of the football team as well. And we talked about the fact that whenever Iowa loses a game, Kirk Ferentz's contract comes up.
Yeah.
Did you see Peter King of Monday Morning Quarterback's comments or about Kirk Ferentz?
Yeah, and I read that stuff and it rolls off my back at this point. In 19 years in Iowa City, and we go through this all the time, when Iowa has a big upset or when Iowa has a great season, all these NFL guys come out of the woodwork and they say great things about Ferentz, and then when the program is struggling, they're nowhere to be found. No one is saying, if I had kids, I would send them to play for Kirk Ferentz when the program is winning 6 or 7 games.
Now, or that he's the greatest coach at any level.
Now, I would say this. If Kirk Ferentz is still coaching, and I think he would be in his 80s when my son would be eligible to play, I would have no problems with him going to play for Kirk Ferentz because I respect him as an individual, as a man, as a football coach. But the bottom line is, this is just more, let's lick our fingers and stick it up in the, oh, Iowa had a big win, so let's give Kirk Ferentz a little bit of love here. Not to say that Peter King doesn't mean what he said, and essentially, as you let everybody know, it was glowing. Kirk Ferentz, one of the best coaches in the country. I'd send my kids to play for him, yada, yada. We've heard this before, but
we're a week removed from the contract talk, though.
Exactly. And it underscores kind of how things operate in 2017 and in this day and age. And this is such a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately business. We talk about Jim McElwain at Florida getting the boot after winning 2 SEC East titles, and he doesn't even get through his third year, that it's no longer, well, last year's last year. We're now to the point in time where with some fans, last week is last week. Okay, and if they go and get beat by Wisconsin on Saturday evening, by the time that game is over, you're probably going to have a section of yahoos in the fan base that are going to be right back to the Ohio State game was just an aberration. Iowa's got a really good coach. I would hang on to him as long as you possibly could if you were Iowa, and I know that doesn't sit well with a lot of people, but that's what Gary Barta has chosen to do, and I think time and time again, it's proven to be a pretty sound strategy. And this team, which is difficult as it is to believe, has an opportunity to finish the year with 9 regular season wins if it wins out. Now, that's a tall task to assume that they're going to go up and beat Wisconsin in Madison on the road, but Purdue and Nebraska, I think, are games that are there for the taking. So that's 8 wins. That's a win or two better than the preseason predictions. And you kind of got to like the personality that this team is showing. Now, we talked yesterday on the program. We'll talk today. I don't know whether a light switch was just flipped or what, or it just took a little while to gel and get going, but For the most part, same team. And they had the losses on the offensive line, but those guys weren't back last week. And I still can't put my finger on what it was. But I'll tell you what, they are flying high in Iowa City, as they should be.
Same team, same coaches, maybe different game plan. Like you said, you can't put your finger on one thing as to why Saturday occurred, as to what happened at Kinnick Stadium on Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening. But I think that a lot of times when this happens, fans think that it's an aberration. I think after the Michigan game last year, they thought, okay, well, that was a good win, and it gives us some energy heading back into the last half of the season, the last 3 games. But they won that game defensively. They didn't really score. They scored, 13 points in that game. I'm not going to set my sights as high as I would had they, I don't know, beat Michigan the way that they beat Ohio State on Saturday, 55-24. You can't ignore that. As much as I want to say, well, okay, this is a a point where they're turning the corner, or oh, this is just an aberration point, and declare one way or another which direction this team is heading. I can't. But I can't rule out the fact that they have turned a corner because they were so dominant on Saturday. Now, like you said yesterday, Wisconsin is going to be ready for this team. They're not going to be surprised by anything that this team does on Saturday. And I still think that 13 points is a little bit too much in Vegas, but I'm not surprised to see Wisconsin favored in this game. I just want to see, moving forward, if there is any kind of consistency to this offense, or if this is just the second aberration game of the season, the other one being Iowa State.
Hertin and Stocker text line is available to you. That's 319-366-1600. I appreciate the text coming in. 7270, you picked Ohio State to win last weekend. Fake Iowa fan. I don't really know how to break this to you, but that's not how this business works. So without getting – and look, when I'm on tilt, when something goes wrong in my life, I have a tendency to get really nasty. And so I'm just going to – I'm for the betterment of myself, I'm going to leave that there. But that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
I don't even know where to start on that one, so By the way, I'm not going to.
I'd take the 13 and Iowa this weekend just because with it being a rivalry game, and Iowa tends to not lose by more than double digits on the road, especially in rivalry games. But entertainment purposes only. We'll be making our picks on the gym class coming up later in the week for the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6. You're going to want to keep that phone number handy, by the way. The number again, 366-1600, because we've got another pair of tickets to see Hairball. They're going to be playing the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena on Saturday night. And if you win those tickets, you're going to have to come pick them up from us here at KGY. And most of you should know where the station is at, because as we told you on last Tuesday, right? Halloween was Tuesday. Are we already a week removed from Halloween? 528.
We are.
528 people came by the station to get their circus peanuts, to get their other crappy candy, their raisins, their Sweet and Low packets, and a couple people even took some of Tyler Ryder's old 1992 baseball cards. Not as many as I was hoping for. The rest of them wound up in the dumpster.
Now, who was counting the official attendance? Is it the same people that count?
Well, we had somebody from the University of Iowa and Carver Hawkeye Arena come and count the attendance, and they told us that it was 528 people that stopped by, and not just 28. If you were listening to the program, you know that someone was Juan himself. 422. We've got a couple other things we're going to get into today. As Alex mentioned, it is a sad day around the baseball world. Roy Halladay has reportedly passed away in a plane crash, and that calls to mind memories of Corey Lytle, who died in a plane crash a couple years ago. But the main, when you say plane crash and baseball, I think two names come to mind. One of them is Roberto Clemente, and the other one is Thurman Munson. And this sounds as if it was more of a Thurman Munson situation, that this was Roy Halladay. As a matter of fact, I saw Gordon Wittenmeyer from the Chicago Sun-Times retweet this, and I retweeted it as well. But Roy Halladay was fairly active on Twitter, and if you go to his profile, he had tweeted out a video of him flying, not from today, but of flying above the clouds in his plane. And the actual header photo on his Twitter profile is some sort of plane. I don't know if it's the plane that he was flying in when it crashed today or not, but he seemed to be a little bit of an aviation buff. And unfortunately, look, his resume stands on its own. He was a tremendous pitcher, and it's always a tremendous loss when you lose somebody at the age of 40, as Roy Halladay was. One of the better pitchers. He's right there with Pedro Martinez. When you think of that era, I think of guys like Pedro Martinez, who was the best pitcher of his era, and Doc Halladay is right there. I mentioned being all over the place today. We've got a couple things that I think you guys are going to like to hear. I don't know where we're going to fit them in, but we've got Mike Gundy, the mullet himself, in Stillwater talking about Matt Campbell and the athletic director at Iowa State, whose name he couldn't remember. But it's a good quote, especially if you are an Iowa State fan. You'll want to hear that. And then Mike Leach, I am officially on board if Bill Moose wants to bring Mike Leach to Nebraska with him from Washington State, because master storyteller Mike Leach has compared targeting to the time that he got a speeding ticket in a little town in Iowa. And he doesn't say what town it is, and there's been a ton of speculation about it, but I'm thinking that there's probably enough material out there that we could have story time with Mike Leach at least once a week on this show, and it would actually be one of the better listened to segments.
I was so frustrated last week, about 3 days after Halloween, I saw a clip pop up of Mike Leach talking about candy corn. Literally 2 days after we were talking about it, I see Mike Leach absolutely destroying candy corn.
Yeah, well, tell that to Mike Daniels, the former Hawkeye, because he likes it.
You either like it or you hate it. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com falls on the side of Mike Leach in this argument, but I'm glad we're getting... What does he have a nickname? How does he not have a nickname?
Bloom?
No, Mike Leach.
Oh.
I'm glad we're getting his material
on
the air because
it's pirate.
Highly entertaining.
He's a big
the pirate
fan.
Yes.
Now, take a look real quick. We got about 30 seconds here. The text line from Wes. Can we talk some Cavaliers and NBA? It actually ties back in with Ric Flair, because can you imagine Stephen A. Smith trying to pretend that he cares about professional wrestling? I happened to turn the game on it because I was watching the Packers and the Lions last night, so it was the last thing on my TV when I shut it off. So I turned the TV on this morning, and there was Screaming A. Smith on First Take, and they've got the Nature Boy Ric Flair on, and I think one of the three panelists was actually happy to have Ric Flair on, and Kellerman was indifferent, Max Kellerman. And Stephen A. Smith was pretending like he cared about Ric Flair, and the minute that the segment was over, they went to talk about some LeBron wearing a shirt or making some sort of signal, and was it a message to Kyrie Irving, or who was it? Okay. Thanks for playing, First Take.
Did you immediately change the channel?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the hook didn't work. I didn't stick around. We hope you stick around with us, because coming up in a few minutes, we got Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Also, Kyle Mann is going to be put to the test today because it is State Volleyball Day at the U.S. Cellular Center, the first of many, and we'll let you know what's going on with the area teams at the Cell Center. Plenty to come on your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. It's on the way after this, 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM returns after this.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes. You sign up with your street address so you only get a reminder when it's our week.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
God bless the leaf vacuum. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. You don't live in Cedar Rapids. You don't know the leaf vacuum. Comes around and picks all the leaves up.
I've seen it, though.
Nobody knows what the day, and then they get behind, and yeah. And then you get piles of leaves blowing around, and your neighbors complain because you rake the leaves a day ahead of time, and some of them might blow across the neighborhood. Don't buy a house. Stay in an apartment, stay in a condo, stay a renter or in a homeowners association as long as you possibly can. It's the best advice that I can give you. Let's bring in Kyle. He's got our first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and shared some unfortunate news. Safety Brandon Snyder, who made a miraculous comeback from an ACL tear over the summer, tore the same ACL in the Illinois game and will have season-ending surgery this week. Ferentz said the team will try, but didn't sound particularly optimistic that a medical redshirt would be in the cards. Josh Jackson received another weekly honor today following his stellar three-pick performance against Ohio State last Saturday. This time it's the Chuck Bednarik Award National Defensive Player of the Week. It doesn't stop there, however. The Hawkeyes were named the Team of the Week yesterday by the Writers Association, and today Kirk Ferentz was named the Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. His defense held Ohio State to 22 points and 200 yards under their yearly averages, and his offense produced 37 points and 185 yards over Ohio State's yearly allowances. Have to give a shout-out to Iowa native, former Hawkeye, and friend of the station, Cal Eldred, who today was promoted to be the Kansas City Royals pitching coach. Eldred played in the majors for 14 years and has served for the past two seasons as a player development assistant in the Royals organization. State volleyball action today. Cedar Falls swept Urbandale, and number 5 Linmar also swept number 4 Cedar Rapids Jefferson. Dubuque Hempstead was also swept by Ankeny Centennial. After the show, it's been a long time since you heard this. There's no baseball, no football, no nothing. So we're going to pass our airwaves off to the mothership for some good old-fashioned ESPN programming.
We're going to have Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette next.
Jonathan Vilma.
I put $5,000 of my own money to start the season. I get paid for violence.
Bounty Gate, tomorrow at 2:30 Eastern on the Ryan Russillo Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Christine Lisi. Breaking news, former Major League pitcher Roy Halladay died today when his single-engine plane crashed into the Gulf of Mexico. Halladay won an AL Cy Young with the Blue Jays and NL Cy Young with the Phillies. Also is one of 23 pitchers ever to throw a perfect game and one of two pitchers to throw a no-hitter in a postseason. Both of those achievements when he was in Philadelphia in 2010. Roy Halladay was 40 years old. NBA reeling Cavaliers seek to get back on track when they take on the Bucks tonight. One thing Cleveland needs, an attitude adjustment, says ESPN's Dave McMenamin.
And for them to show up and not be able to get their act together, particularly to start games, the way they've been falling behind in the first quarter of games is, as Ty Lue phrased it yesterday, embarrassing. And basically, until this team feels like it's fed up of getting embarrassed, I doubt we're going to see much of progress from the Cavs.
Milwaukee acquired guard Eric Bledsoe from Phoenix for center Greg Monroe and protected 2018 first and second round picks. Bledsoe expected to join the Bucks tomorrow in San Antonio.
Get a large two-topping Pizza Hut pizza for just $7.99 when you order online. It's the best pizza delivery deal out there. No one out-pizzas the Hut. Click for this offer. Delivery minimums and fees may apply. Additional charge for extra cheese and stuffed crust. Product availability, prices, participation, and delivery areas may vary. The delivery charge is not a driver tip.
The Ford year-end sales event is here. Now with 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 cash back across a full lineup of Ford vehicles. That's Ford, America's best-selling brand. Now with exclusive holiday offers. Get 0% APR financing for 72 months, plus $1,000 Ford credit cash across a full lineup of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. Best selling based on 2016 sales. Not all buyers qualify for Ford credit financing. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment on cars and SUVs. 72 months at $1,389 per month for $1,000 finance regardless of down payment on F-150. Not available on Ford GT, Fiesta, Focus RS, Mustang GT 350, 350R, Raptor, or Super Duty. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfordnow.com for complete details.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com salutes the employee of the month, the one employee you can't live without. The others, let's just call them Dave.
Dave, why have you been shredding for hours?
The boss said we should cut costs, Mr. Employee of the Month.
How does this cut costs?
These are the expense reports for the whole year.
You shredded them all?
Thanks to me, our expenses this year are zero.
If you don't mind hiring Daves, go to the national job boards. They may be free, but trust us, they'll cost you. We make it easy to post a job, and it's local, so you won't get spammed by faraway job seekers. Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, helpwanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Get a financial education Monday mornings at 7:20 on the gym during Corridor Money Matters featuring Tryon Investments. Learn even more at tryoninvestments.com.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-222-9133. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-222-9133. That's 800-222-9133. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-222-9133. 800-222-9133.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
From the co-executive producer of Game of Thrones.
My friends, there are devils out there.
And the producer and director of Logan.
We are at war between the people that live in this country and those that mean to control it.
In a battle between rich and poor. Brother versus brother.
You're gonna save my poor mortal soul.
No, I'll kill you and drag you to hell with me.
Damnation, a new original series. Tonight, 10, 9 central, only on USA.
4:36, we would have been back sooner, but I was playing around with my new 280 characters.
You have 280
Everybody has 280 characters on Twitter.
I need to log out and log back in because it still says I only have 140.
Really? Well, maybe I'm... Wow. Maybe everybody doesn't have. I'm told everybody has 280. We had such a great show yesterday. I was so happy with it, and I sent it off to somebody to listen to, and I was just like, listen to this. This is great. This might be one of the best shows I've ever done. And then I've given all of that away today. All of that ground is just, it's gone. And here we are at 4:37 on a Tuesday, and we're getting ready to talk with Jeremiah Davis from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. And let's just dive in here now. Don't get a big head on me, Jeremiah. Do not try to lead off with 90 seconds of good NASCAR talk, because that's always the kicker at the end of the segment. We're going to start with football and basketball, but this is actually where I want to start with you, if you're okay with this. If you would have told me that you were a giant pickup truck guy, I never would have believed it. I saw you, and we were leaving the parking ramp relatively the same time on Saturday night after the Ohio State game, and I see this big old boy white pickup truck rolling by, and I go, man, there's a good old boy pulling it. And I look a little closer, and it was you. And then Morehouse is next, and he's got this tiny little hipster wagon. It's not a station wagon, but I was like, I don't, like, role reversal there. So how long have you had that truck? It's a nice truck. I don't want to, I'm not making fun of you. I would not have pictured you behind the wheel of that thing.
Well, thank you for the compliment. The truck is, I bought it this summer at Castle Motors, actually, and they do a great job. I'm just going to give them a shameless plug. They were a lot of fun to deal with, I don't know. I've actually always been a pickup truck guy. I drove an S10 in college. It's the first time I've had like a full size truck, but got to haul the race car with it, so that's why I got one.
Okay, it caught me off guard. But neither here nor there. I want to keep it light today. That's what I wanted to start with. Let's go ahead and touch on football first. We found out today that Brandon Snyder is not going to be back this year, and most of us have known that the injury was pretty significant. They kind of downplayed it and didn't want to acknowledge that, but he re-injured that ACL at some point in time during the Illinois game when he had that return for the touchdown, and everybody was celebrating his miraculous comeback after 6 months, and it turns out that may not have been the best idea. Kirk said today They are not very optimistic about him getting a medical red shirt, so he'll have one more year of eligibility remaining. You think that's fair?
Yeah, probably. I mean, if he's taken a red shirt once before already, and he rehabbed and came back this year, I think you'd like to see him get one. I think it would be fair either way. I guess is my answer there. It would make sense by the rule if he didn't get it, but he also only played in one game. And I don't know what his NFL future is, but I don't think that he's going to be highly drafted. If he does get in a camp, so he's only got a few games left at all in his career. Period. In theory, unless he latches on with somebody. So I'd like to see a kid get a chance after he's worked that hard to come back. And it it's just bad luck, really, because he looked good when he came back, and see him on the sidelines before that Illinois game. In games preceding that, seeing him run around, he looked like he was in really good shape and worked really hard to get back. And it's just, injuries are a real bummer, especially when kids work so hard like he did to make their way back to the field. And it was miraculous. I mean, I don't think there's any arguing that a player could come back that quickly and be effective, because he was that day against Illinois.
Jeremiah, sticking with the in the defensive backfield and talking about NFL futures, do Iowa fans need to start enjoying Josh Jackson while he's in Iowa City?
I think so, yeah. I mean, yeah, 3 interceptions against the Heisman candidate, and to do that on the, whatever, we just got the release at something like, I think it's the second most watched cable event or cable show on TV over the weekend or something like that. And a ton of people watched it, a ton of people saw it, and, he wasn't on the semifinalist list for the Thorpe Award, which I thought was outrageous a couple weeks ago. And, if he's not included on all the postseason award watch lists at this point, somebody isn't paying attention. And I'll include the Big Ten on that, because he wasn't, he was given the co player of the week this week. It's the kid is making money for himself in the future every week right now, and Iowa fans definitely should enjoy it while they can.
Jeremiah Davis joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and it's out of the fryer into the frying pan, the total cliche, and I use it all the time, much to my detriment, but you go from beating Ohio State, and now you're facing down a team that's 9-0, looking to get to 10-0, and it's on the road, it's a rivalry game. What are your expectations for what sounds to be a cold, miserable night in Madison, Wisconsin, Saturday?
I wrote this yesterday, the over-under for this game is 46. And if you're looking at last week, you're 100 points between the two of them in their two matchups. But if I had the money to bet on this game, I would hammer the under so hard. These two teams are so similar in what they do and how they do it. And the history of this rivalry, I think 10 of the 16 times a Kirk Ferentz team has faced Wisconsin, they would not have covered a 46-point over-under. And that's a lot. That's a trend. And I think it's 4 of the last 5 games that the same is true, or either 3, maybe 3 of the last 4. Either way, when these two teams get together, it's 5 yards in a cloud of dust. It'll be 5 yards in some mud. I guess they have field turf, but you know what I'm saying. It's going to be a bare knuckle brawl kind of a game, and if you're a Big Ten football fan, an old school football fan, this is the game that you want. Two high quality, highly high executing teams who are basically mirrors of each other going at it for 60 minutes. I'm looking forward to watching the highlights because I won't be on the road for that game. But I love this matchup because of that, because they're so similar.
What is your level of caution in believing that this offense has turned a corner after Saturday?
Well, we just haven't seen them do it 2 weeks in a row. That's the thing. The offense looked similar on Saturday to what it was against Iowa State, right? And they're clearly capable of it. It's just putting it all together. Last week was the first week that the offensive line really looked like it was one unit, a collective, working in the same direction every snap kind of a thing. Iowa owned the offense, owned the line of scrimmage against Ohio State, which is still crazy to say. But if I have any, trepidation, it's just that we haven't seen them do that week to week yet. Certainly capable, we just don't know if they can.
What did Nate Stanley have to say about going home this morning?
He's such an understated kid. It's kind of fun to listen to him talk just because he doesn't get too high, too low. He didn't really make it sound like it was all that big of a deal. Honestly, there wasn't. It was just like, yeah, we're going back. And he said he didn't watch college football as a kid. So he doesn't really, the fact that this is a rivalry isn't really that much on him. And honestly, I think that's going to bode really well for him as his future unfolds at Iowa, because he's not, all of us asking him questions aren't going to get anything out of him when it comes to, the stuff that's fun for us to talk about, the rivalries and the emotions of the game. He doesn't seem like he's that kind of person, that kind of player. He's just sort of, he loves to play and he goes out and does it and then goes and about his business elsewhere. And so I think going home for him this weekend isn't going to be what we think of it as. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know, absolutely.
Jeremiah, 2 weeks ago, USA Today published a piece labeling the worst contracts in college football, and Kirk Ferentz was on the list. And then after this win against Ohio State, Peter King called Kirk Ferentz, and I quote, one of the best coaches at any level. Does it ever cease to amaze you just how quickly narratives can change?
Of course not. I mean, it's hilarious. It just depends. What have you done for me lately, right? I was in the midst of a struggling month of October, and the Fire Kirk website's firing up again, and this contract is terrible, and all of this stuff, and then all of a sudden they go out and beat one of the best teams in college football, and it's dramatically shifted. Kirk Ferentz didn't the ability or the quality of coach he was did not change from October 5 to November 5. Like, there's no difference in who he is and how he goes about his business. And Peter King is right. Kirk Ferentz is one of the best football coaches in the country. I don't care. You can argue with me until you're blue in the face. Whoever, not you guys specifically, but whoever wants to argue, it can argue till they're blue in the face. But he's made quality players out of guys who nobody wanted for 19 years. And you can't do that unless you are really, really good at your job. And I don't know. It's just funny, like you said, to watch that unfold and to see narratives shift so fast. It's like you break your neck, trying to figure out which way it's going.
Not so funny to transition to basketball, but the news yesterday, Nicholas Baer going to miss 3 to 4 weeks. That puts him right around the Big Ten opener as far as a return goes. What do you think, or how do you think that affects Fran McCaffrey and his plan for minutes in the rotation in the early going this year?
It shouldn't be too big of a deal, I don't think, in these first few games. We all know, if you've looked at all at the rankings of the first three opponents, Chicago State, Alabama State, and Grambling State, Riley Till will probably play in all three, and that's no insult to Riley Till. I mean, he's a nice kid, but he's not going to see regular minutes the rest of the season, right? So missing Nicholas Baer for the first few games isn't going to be that big of a deal. I think you're going to see more Tom Ewell than you will later in the year, as a result. Maybe, more Ahmad Wagner than regular, but I think the rotation's still going to be, a couple guys are going to play 20-plus minutes and everybody else is going to play somewhere between 10 and 15. I don't think Baer being in or out isn't going to really change that. There's just going to be a couple guys that are, maybe at 12 or 14 instead of 8 or 10.
What is your biggest question mark heading into that opener against Chicago State?
I think my biggest question right now is who's going to step up as the most consistent scorer. There's obviously a ton of different guys who can score at various points, but somebody's going to need to do it consistently, potentially. I mean, maybe if it rotates every night, then it rotates every night, and that's fine, but somebody's going to have to step up every night. The easy option is Tyler Cook, right? But, if he's in foul trouble or if defenses are focusing on him, who else steps up? Jordan Bohannon is going to be facing a lot more attention than he did last year, obviously. Can Isaiah Moss do it for more than a single half in a game? It's really just who's going to be the consistent scorer, I think, is the biggest question I'm looking at right away. I mean, the other option is, are they going to be able to play defense with consistency? So those are the two that I'm sort of are most present on my mind anyway right now.
How much do you think we see Jordan Bohannon playing alongside Connor McCaffrey, especially in the early going? Because the first two exhibition games seems to indicate that that's part of the plan this year now.
It wouldn't surprise me if Fran kind of eased that in and didn't go all in on it right away, because he probably doesn't want to give Big Ten teams tape on that. Because they're obviously they'll run it and they want to get those guys used to doing it, but I think as the season goes along, we're going to see more and more of that, because I think it's going to become harder and harder for Jordan Bohannon to get open without Connor on the floor. So right away, we'll see plenty of it, but I just don't think it's going to be the majority of the time, whereas I think by the time we get to January, February, it's probably going to be a pretty dominant set, just given, like you said, the hints we got in those exhibitions.
Jeremiah Davis joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and if you're no stranger to his segments with us, you know that several months ago I promised him 90 seconds of good NASCAR talk, and we did a Twitter poll, and you folks out there delivered on it. And Jeremiah, the next time that you're on with us, you're actually going to have an intro for this. So this will be
really
the last time. Let's bare bones it here, but you've got 90 seconds, go.
Well, the season's coming down to a close. They've got one more race in the playoffs for the elimination rounds. It's at Phoenix on Sunday, and there's only one spot that's open for the championship four, because Martin Truex Jr. Sealed his way in on points. And I thought it was kind of funny that this whole championship system was supposed to be based around wins, and that was all it was. And one of the guys that's going to be racing for the championship four sealed his way early on points. Kind of funny. It's been a pretty compelling playoffs for NASCAR. They've had some drama at Martinsville, and I'm really looking forward to Phoenix, because I think that there's going to be some drama there with guys that need to win to get into that final race in Homestead.
Wow, that was about 50%. On the day where Twitter gives everybody 280 characters, you leave 50% of your time on the table, Jeremiah.
Did I really? Wow.
Yeah. It was what the listeners wanted, though. It's what they needed. Jeremiah Davis of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and I am not kidding you, the next time that you are with us, you're going to get a 90 seconds of NASCAR intro and everything. Before you know it, you're going to be hanging out with Darrell Waltrip on Fox doing the broadcasts. Is Darrell Waltrip still on Fox doing the broadcasts? I have no idea.
Yes.
He is? Oh.
Yeah.
Holy cow. 4:52. Hey, thanks a lot, Jeremiah. We'll see you probably Friday night. Well, no, I won't. Never mind. I was going to say we'll see you Friday night at Carver Hawkeye Arena for Chicago State, but I'm not going to be there now. So we'll touch base down the road. Thanks, friend.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Jeremiah Davis drives a massive Chevy Silverado. I mean, this thing should have Yosemite Sam mud flaps on it. I could not believe that it was him. And because if you've ever seen Jeremiah,
were they like the wheels elevated?
He didn't have the dualies going or anything, or the extra exhaust off the back. But if you've ever seen Jeremiah, he strikes me as a type of guy that would be driving a relatively modest vehicle, perhaps
an SUV,
perhaps fuel efficient. And now, man, he's roaring through the parking garage, which is the best part about leaving Kinnick Stadium at about 11 o'clock after a game and there's no cars in there. You can just roam. It's a little Vice City in there. You can do whatever you want to within reason. 319-366-1600, and then Morehouse comes tooling by the... Didn't Walter White on Breaking Bad had sort of a, I don't know, it's kind of a simple little automobile there for a while, didn't he? Then that was Morehouse, and I was like, okay, if there's anybody, Morehouse looks and dresses like a lumberjack. He had the knit cap on. Somebody said he looked like a longshoreman on Saturday. That would be the guy I'd picture behind the giant truck. 4:53, I'm trying to keep it lighthearted today. I'm trying to keep it moving. We got Mitch Sherman from ESPN.com joining us coming up in hour number two. And then for the final hour and a half of the show tonight, it might be the wild, wild west. No promises. Back with more after this.
Hi, I'm Linda Hass. Is your company's current payroll provider fumbling the ball?
Ooh.
It's time for help from the bench.
Time out.
Switch to Future Systems, Inc., the most trusted payroll company in the corridor. From one employee to thousands of employees, Future Systems has the experience and expertise to save you time and money. Call in the team from Future Systems today at 1-800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
A highly anticipated matchup comes up this Thursday night on KGYM. Hi, this is Scott Unash. Join John Hegarty and me Thursday night at 8 from the Unidome on 107.5 and 106.3 FM for a Class 3A semifinal as number 1 Cedar Rapids Xavier battles number 3 Solon. Both teams come in at 11-0 for the year, and only one will survive and advance to the finals. That's 3A semifinal playoff football presented by First Federal Credit Union. Number 1 Cedar Rapids Xavier and number 3 Solon. Thursday night at 8 on 107.5 and 106.3 FM KGYM.
No lizard or TV personality or bespectacled professor. No stage, no set, no facade. Insurance isn't entertainment. It's something you need to keep a bad thing from turning into a worse thing. That doesn't mean it has to be all stone-faced and serious. It can come with a kind, smart person who answers the phone or an email or even comes to your home when you need them. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com. Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
Welcome back in, 4:56. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your Midwest One Bank Big Board update at the top of the hour. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Kirk Ferentz spoke with the media today in Iowa City and shared some unfortunate news. Safety Brandon Snyder, who made a miraculous comeback from an ACL tear over the summer, tore the same ACL in the Illinois game and will have season-ending surgery. Ferentz said the team will try, but didn't sound particularly optimistic that a medical redshirt would be in the cards. Josh Jackson received another weekly honor today following his stellar three-pick performance against Ohio State last Saturday. This time it's the Chuck Bednarik Award, National Defensive Player of the Week. He got the Walter Camp National Distinction yesterday, and his one-handed pick in the fourth quarter was also ESPN's top play on Saturday night. It doesn't stop there, however. The Hawkeyes were named the Team of the Week yesterday by the Writers Association, and today Kirk Ferentz was named the Dodd Trophy Coach of the Week. His defense held Ohio State to 22 points and 200 yards under their yearly averages, and his offense produced 37 points and 185 yards over Ohio State's yearly allowances. Have to give a shout out to Iowa native, former Hawkeye, and friend of the station, Cal Eldred, who today was promoted to be the Kansas City Royals pitching coach. Eldred played in the majors for 14 years and has served for the past two seasons as a player development assistant in the Royals organization. State volleyball action today. Cedar Falls swept Urbandale, and number 5 Linmar also swept number 4 Cedar Rapids Jefferson, and Dubuque Hempstead was swept by Ankeny Centennial. After the show today, it's no baseball, no football, just ESPN programming.
Yeah, it's one of those days, isn't it? Mitch Sherman of ESPN.com is going to be with us to kick off hour number 2. He was in the Kinnick Stadium press box on Saturday, and I'm going to ask him what he expected going into that game. And just exactly in his own words, what he thinks he saw Saturday night. 1 hour in the books, 2 hours to go. It's the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn. More on the way after this.